Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I am your co-host, Kyle Sconewill, and I'm joined by my friend, Robbie Earle. Robbie, how are you today?
Hello, I'm doing well today. I am coming live to you from a farm in the middle of Arkansas, Kyle. So on the ground here, let me know if you have any questions. I can answer.
It's so fitting for an episode where we're going to be talking about cutting edge new things and technology that you're on a farm.
Well, you know,
just makes it kind of fun.
After Age of Ultron, I was just really inspired to kind of go full Hawkeye.
The farmhouse.
Yeah, you know. So here I am trying to get away from all of the turmoil of the modern world.
For our listeners out there, just because you may find this kind of interesting, this podcast and where Robbie has been recording from has been just absolutely absurd. We started this podcast in the most crazy era of Robbie Earle's life ever. Literally, we've recorded from, I'm in Nashville this entire time, but Robbie's been in what? Little Rock, Austin, Dallas, London, a hotel in London, France.
Yep.
Like, it's getting comical at this point.
And now, you know.
And now a farmhouse.
Now a farmhouse. So if you hear any ducks or goats or chickens in the background, don't be alarmed. That's just a new normal.
So when we first started this podcast, we promised that we would, one, go back and go through our favorite films in the Infinity Saga, which we are doing.
Yep.
Two, we said we'd get into some interesting discussions that a lot of Marvel fans have, which we have been doing with some of our Marvelettes. But also, Robbie, our third thing we promised was that we would be projecting what might be happening in the MCU going forward, maybe
true,
a little news.
True.
So today, we have another What's New in the MCU episode for y'all. I'm thinking more like a bum, bum,
bum, bum. There you go, there you go.
And we're coming to you live from the news episode. So where do we want to start? There's actually been a lot of cool things coming out all of a sudden the last few weeks. So we felt compelled to do this.
Right.
Time to check in.
Well, I mean, just recently we had the new Black Widow trailer drop, which is exciting. We actually didn't get a chance to talk about the first one when it dropped a few months ago. So I'm glad that we kind of get to unpack this one. What were your initial thoughts after watching the new kind of extended look at Black Widow?
I am very excited. However, I am reserved because of the timeline this falls under.
Right.
Just because I know what happens to her, it's always unique whenever you go back and make a movie that fills a gap. This is kind of like Rogue One in that facet,
sure,
where like we kind of already know Black Widow's ultimate fate, so you got to make a movie that's still really interesting, even though we know that.
Right.
So
this is the kind of movie that could actually make Endgame even more impactful, which I love. And I'm curious to see kind of how that works. And if it does work, like, I would love to get even more movies like that, you know, put them back into the Infinity Saga, kind of like we've talked about before.
Yeah, I agree. Do we know that this takes place like during Civil War?
I from what I've seen, this takes place immediately after Natasha's last scene in Civil War. I think in our rewatch order, from what I can tell, and you know, you never know how it starts and ends and kind of exactly where it lines up, but from what's come out so far, I would think it would go between Civil War and Black Panther.
exactly where it falls could be really fun. Because I remember when I was watching Rogue One, one of the coolest things about it was you knew it took place between episode 3 and 4. But then the very last scene of Rogue One ended up being like the very literal first scene of episode 4. And that blew my mind.
Right.
I have chills now thinking about that could be really cool to like, if it, not just that it falls between that period, but what if like the last scene is like Infinity War beginning or something?
I know.
You know,
or, I know. Because, I mean, because that
could be a really fun tie-in.
And that's, you know, I don't want to get my hopes up too much because I haven't seen a ton of chatter about the Secret Avengers stuff. But that's really what I've wanted to get out of this movie because, you know, like we just don't know a lot about what was going on with Natasha and Cap and Sam while they were on the run in between Civil War and Infinity War. And so I would love to get some kind of look at that. And I have to think that we'll get something. But I do think, if nothing else, you know, as we said, I think on our first news episode, Robert Downey Jr. is supposed to make some kind of cameo that is supposed to be recycled footage from Civil War. So that does make me think that, you know, this is literally, you know, right after, like, the scene after Civil War ends. So that's kind of cool.
Well, and does it give us a little more impact to Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the show?
Oh, yeah, great point.
Just because we saw them so much, you know, those could be really tied. We don't know that,
yeah,
but maybe.
But you would think so, I mean, because there has to be a reason that those are releasing when they are. You know, like, I don't think that any of that is by accident.
It's funny. Some of the stuff we're talking about is news, and some of it is just us theorizing and conjecture. So,
sure.
To everyone out there listening, just be, those are separate things. But yes, I am excited about it. I know the Taskmaster suit design has been a hot button topic amongst some comic book people. Again, I'm not one of those people.
Right.
I was just pumped to see Taskmaster because, do you know why?
Of course I do.
Because of the Spider-Man video game,
yes,
on PS4.
Yes.
Again, to tie in a previous episode, that game is so good. It still haunts me. I love it so much.
Yeah.
I actually just sold a bunch of my PlayStation games, but I didn't sell that one just because it's still fun to like open it up
and
swing around.
Yeah. I like have withdrawals. Like, I didn't take my PS4 with me to France. And so I've just been like, I've been itching to get back into some web slinging, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. So, you know, Taskmaster has a little cameo in that game.
Right.
That's not really spoiling much. So that's my knowledge of Taskmaster. So that was kind of fun for me to see that.
Yeah.
In this new trailer, you get to see a better glimpse of him, kind of the fighting style thing.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. You know, when the first trailer dropped, I know that there was a lot of backlash. I mean, I say that within like a very niche community, there was backlash about the Taskmaster appearance because he does have sort of an iconic costume with like the skull mask and the hood. And based on what we saw in this latest trailer, I actually liked the costume a lot more than I did based on the first glimpse. And I don't know if we're seeing different iterations or if it's just kind of a different angle or what it is that I'm seeing. But I feel like it's a kind of another example of Marvel, you know, modernizing and making like a little bit more realistic a version of a costume that's in the comics. Like, it's not quite as true as, you know, we've talked about getting with like Hela or Mysterio. But I think it's still cool, and I think it kind of fits the Winter Soldier vibes that we've talked about liking when it comes to Black Widow. So I like that. You know, I'm curious to hear what's that.
I also love that you brought up that it's a very niche community, because yes, remember that 80% of people just see the trailer and think,
oh,
that's cool.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about the, you know, like me. And the second thing I wanted to follow up with is we don't theoretically know much more about that design. So before you jump on it, like, maybe he grows into the skull mask.
Totally.
Like, maybe that's the first scene of the movie, and like part of his, you know, like scars is he gets a different mask or something. We just don't know yet. So it's not worth freaking out about to me.
No, that's totally true. Because like, for instance, Malekith, I've got to bring a Malekith.
Unbelievable.
sorry. Malekith in the comics is identifiable because his face is like split down the middle, black and white, essentially. Or like, you know, depending on who's drawing it, like dark blue and light blue, whatever. Black and blue, anyway.
Well, remember that Marvel literally made a guy with a fishbowl on his head look cool? So let's give them the benefit of the doubt at this point.
And my point is here, and if you had looked at the at the character design based on the trailers for Malekith, you wouldn't have seen that. But then, you know, halfway through the movie, Thor hits him with the lightning and half of his face gets blackened. Right. And so he winds
That's
up.
That's my point.
Yeah. So I think it's, you know, yeah, it's a great point. You never know what's going to happen. That said, I would be curious to hear if we have any listeners out there that feel especially strongly about this, that love the design and don't love the design. Hit us up so we can kind of see how much of that niche community is following Friends from Work.
My last thought with this movie in particular, before I move on,
yeah,
I am going to be fascinated to see how much does this movie tie into the Infinity Saga, just because will it be so tied in that eventually you could watch this movie post-Civil War in a rewatch?
I would love that.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I hope it does kind of add to that legend, if you will.
Yeah, my last thought is just kind of as we're nearing the Oscar ceremony, I think it's kind of crazy to think that we now have two Oscar-nominated actresses showing up in Black Widow with Scarlett Johansson and Florence Pugh.
Totally.
So that's kind of a big thing. So congrats to them.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. It's exciting. Marvel, you know, again, Marvel's always done a great job of assembling talent, but it's fun to have some of the folks that have kind of, well, in Scarlett Johansson's case, poured a lot into this franchise. It's fun to see her kind of rewarded by the Academy as she continues
no
to
doubt.
Make different films. And it's fun to see them getting young, you know, recognized talent with Florence Pugh, who knows, maybe she's going to be a new addition to the MCU.
Moving on to the next stop in our What's New in the MCU.
Yes.
Did you see this crazy, weird Morbius trailer?
Yes, I did.
So I didn't think I'd be starting this episode today talking about something that's not fully MCU, but I need to ask you, like, I'm so confused what's going on here. So if you haven't seen this trailer, it's like a Sony production, correct? Just like Venom.
Yep, it's exactly
like Venom. In association with Marvel. And now at the end of the trailer, two things. You get a cameo from Vulture. And I'm like, wait, what? And the second craziest thing is there's a quick shot of a picture of Spider-Man and he writes like murderer on it and you can tell he's mad.
Yeah.
But the exact picture they're using in that trailer is Spider-Man from the video game again. The same video game I'm referencing.
But
yeah, in the old
yeah,
suit.
Yeah, in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy suit, like in that costume, but
like, are
from
they just
the game.
Playing with our head? And then if this is actually going to become canon and if we get a cameo, which is rumored to maybe happen, by the way, from Tom Holland.
Right.
If we get that, how in the world are Marvel and Sony going to keep this all together, adding these other movies as well? I don't know that, but I also have one other part I want to follow up on.
Yeah.
Again, I'm so happy for the video game that it gets a shout out. The video game is that good, people. But there's a new Spider-Man video game coming out later, probably this year, maybe early next year, 2021 possibly. But there's also an Avengers video game coming out. And I say that all to say there's rumors that maybe Marvel's about to start a Marvel video game universe, basically MVGU instead of MCU. And I just find this all fascinating that A, if they can pull that off, and it'd be separate from the cinematic universe
right,
for
right.
sure. But just that now they're kind of like blending all the lines with this Morbius trailer, including a shot from the video game. What?
Yeah. Well, and for those of us who do follow these video games, actually very recently, the folks behind the Avengers game that was set to release in May announced that has been pushed back to September 2020. Because they're putting some finishing touches on that. But yeah, I mean, even I think whenever the Spider-Man game was announced, Bill Rosamond, who is the head of Marvel Gaming, described it as the quote-unquote Iron Man of Marvel console games, meaning
That's
that he saw it as, you know, opening up a whole universe like 2008's Iron Man film did. So yeah, it's interesting. Everyone's been very hush-hush about how the Avengers game might connect, but as we've talked about before, like, there is an Avengers Tower that is very prominent in the Spider-Man game's rendering of New York City. And it seems as though, like, if you're going to do that and then make an Avengers game, it would be really weird to not have those connect in some way, especially given, like, that quote from him. So it'll be fun right. to see how it plays out, literally.
And there's other shout-outs to the Avengers in the Spider-Man game as far as the dialogue. Like, they talk
right.
about other things.
Right, right.
So that would be kind of crazy to follow. But talk to me about this Morbius thing. Are they trying to set up a Sinister Six thing?
Man.
And how in the world are they going to pull this off, bringing them into the MCU?
So, yeah, this is so interesting. Like, I think we have to go back to The Amazing Spider-Man 2 for a moment. I don't know if you saw that movie. It's widely considered the worst Spider-Man movie ever made.
I did see it, yep.
It was Mark Webb's second in what was going to be a trilogy and beyond. And the reason that I bring that up is that movie was supposed to launch the Sony Spider-Verse, which was going to have a Sinister Six movie and a Venom movie connected to the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. And basically this whole thing separate from the MCU. Of course, then Amazing Spider-Man 2 kind of tanked and the whole Marvel deal happened. We got Tom Holland into the MCU and all of that was scrapped until, I guess, all of the weirdness this past summer with, you know, is Tom Holland in the MCU or is he now out of the MCU? And I'm thinking, I mean, we got some indications from Kevin Feige after that whole thing went down that quote unquote Spider-Man is the only hero that has the power to travel between different cinematic universes or something like that.
Lame.
And I know it was like, but it felt like a very intentional statement on his part. And so I think everyone's kind of been on the lookout for, okay, does that mean that there's a Venom crossover? Because that was a movie that had a surprisingly strong box office showing last year.
Despite critic response, by the way.
Right, right, right. So I think this is not a movie, that the Morbius movie is not where I would have expected this crossover to show up for the first time. But I have thought often that, you know, in the MCU, John Watts movies have been laying the groundwork for a Sinister Six, like the Vulture and Mysterio are both parts of that original Sinister Six. And but then I've been thinking, well, now we're getting to the third movie. I don't know how many they're going to want to do, and they're kind of running out of time to set up a Sinister Six. And so part of me is like, well, yeah, maybe this is how they're going to do it. Maybe they're going to link it into these separate Sony movies. Maybe Sony's going to try to do kind of more of these villain-themed movies, you know, in line with kind of the success that we're seeing from Joker on the DC side. I don't know. It's the craziest thing to me about the whole thing, though, is not, well, Michael Keaton's appearance totally blew me away. But then the fact that you have the image from the PS4 game, but of the Sam Raimi suit, then it's like, okay, so we have...
right, we have every base covered.
Basically, yeah, we have Michael Keaton. That has to mean that this is in some way taking place in that universe. And that, to me, is pretty big because okay, a couple things, then we can move on. But on the one hand, that means that this movie and maybe retroactively the Venom movie, which critically, the Venom movie, like you said, was not received super well. Marvel movies have been so, like, the quality control under Kevin Feige has been up to a certain standard. We've talked about that over and over
again. Right, it seems weird that he would, you know, relinquish some of that control unless it was really good.
Yeah.
Right? That, like, yeah. Why give that up then?
Well, and again, like, yeah, once you, because I would assume Sony, if they're going to have, they're not going to want to start, you know, splicing up which of their movies involving Spider-Man characters are or aren't linked to Tom Holland. And I think once you get there, even the other thing is, like, even if people like us know officially which movies are and aren't MCU canon,
right,
generally
casual people,
yeah,
wouldn't get it.
There's no
way.
They'd
be so confused.
Yeah, so it's like, I think what this tells me is, unless this is like a total case of misdirection, I think these Sony
which
Spider-Man
it could
movies
be,
are
because we don't know.
It could be. But from what it from the fact that that's the last scene in the trailer, from what I can tell at this point, I'm getting the sense that Marvel Studios is linking in these Spider-Man movies. And that is something that I did not expect to happen in
no.
this way. So, but we'll see. Like I said, we don't know for sure. We won't know until we see the movie. But
the thing is, if Tom Holland even makes a cameo, I feel like as a fan now, we have to accept that as canon.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, if he's in it, it's like, I'm not going to start separating the two, like you said. So we'll see. I will also add that because I'm such a fan of the video game, if they don't tie these movies into the Spider-Man we know, it would still be fun for me to keep seeing more Sinister Six villains in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like you said, we already had two of them.
Right.
I feel like they've taken a very conscious effort to not redo some of the villains because Spider-Man is such a unique case where we have all these different versions of Spider-Man.
Right.
Right. Like right. five other movies in the last 20 years that were before Tom Holland's version. And in those movies, you had Green Goblin, Sandman, Doc Ock, right?
Right.
And
right,
so it makes
right.
sense to me that they started the first two Marvel Spider-Man movies with Vulture and Mysterio because they're not trying to repeat. But
right.
I'll just be interested to see, do they tie any of those things in? Do they redo one of those villains? Do they keep pushing to a new villain because of that? But I think it could be kind of fun for me as a fan to see something like that, even if it's not this Morbius trailer. Does that make sense?
No, totally. And that's why I think, while Michael Keaton showing up in the trailer was the most shocking thing for me, I think in some ways, the most confusing and interesting thing is like that PS4 image because, Kyle, I don't know if you saw the Venom movie that came out 2 years ago, but what was interesting is at the end of that film, there's this little thing that's like, you know, elsewhere in the multiverse or Spider-Verse. And then we get this quick scene from Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse that was kind of like a preview for that before that hit the theaters a few months later. Which is also kind of crazy because that's showing that the Venom movie is in the same universe as this animated Spider-Man movie. And all of that is making me think that, like, is the fact that we're getting a specific iteration of Spider-Man from a very popular Spider-Man video game alongside an MCU Spider-Man villain, like, is Sony setting up some kind of, like, crazy, like, expansive Spider-Verse thing?
Has to be, because we talked about this earlier. The fact that Vulture and Michael Keaton specifically shows up means we have to pay attention now.
Yeah.
It either has to be that they're going to make two versions of Vulture with the same actor, in which case people are very confused, or they're trying to tie it all together.
Yeah, and again, if they had just done that and had, you know, like the Homecoming suit or the Stark Spider-Man suit in that picture in the alleyway, that would have been one thing. But I saw someone on Twitter say basically either someone in the art department for this Morbius film like royally messed up with that and we're all just reading way too much into it, which is always a possibility. Or that was an intentional shout out to these different versions of Spider-Man that may not exist
in this
world.
What if it's just an ad for the video game in the movie?
Right. I mean, we've got, you know, synergy. We've
yeah, no doubt.
But anyway, so yeah, if you haven't seen the trailer, go check it out. Let us know your thoughts, especially if we have any comic book fans out there. I'm curious to hear kind of how you think this movie is going to shape up and what your thoughts are on its impact on the MCU. What's next, Kyle?
Okay, so just kind of chugging along here to our next stop on our journey with our Disney Plus shows.
Yes.
One, the WandaVision show has been pushed up actually, from 2021 to 2020. So sometime this year.
Love that.
They will be releasing on Disney Plus 6 1 hour long-ish episodes.
Yeah, and this has been out for a bit, but I don't know how many people know Kat Dennings, who plays Darcy in Thor and Thor the Dark World. Gosh, how we bring
legendary
up
legendary.
I don't even try
character.
To have these Thor Dark World references. They happen. Anyway.
The movie was that important.
That significant. But yeah, so Darcy is supposed to make an appearance in this WandaVision show, which is a role that I don't think anybody expected, but we're getting it. So that's exciting.
That would have been towards the bottom of actors I thought were going to be making a cameo right? coming back. So,
but yeah, so 2020 WandaVision.
Also, there have been reports that Hawkeye, the Disney Plus show, has been delayed indefinitely, maybe even, but Disney has recently refuted those reports.
Right.
So, this being a news episode, we thought we'd just let you know, but we don't know the answer to that yet.
Yeah. So, you might have seen some grumblings on the internet, but Disney was pretty quick to deny it. So, I think at this point, we have to assume things are moving along as planned unless we hear something firm.
It will be fascinating to see what is it like for us as fans of the MCU to have these shows fill in gaps. I'm interested to follow along with this format. I'm sure it'll be great. I'm still anxious about it, but
yeah,
we'll see. Moving along, the last thing on our news episode is about two of the films coming out in the next phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
First off, the second Doctor Strange movie, which is supposed to, by the way, have Wanda in it,
right.
Rumored.
And Loki, apparently.
Doctor Strange. Oh, and Loki. All the magic people. Yep. Magic the Gathering right here. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is getting a different director, correct?
Yes, that is correct. This movie, which is set to release in May 2021, which it's crazy, is really not that far away at this point.
Especially to be changing directors.
Yeah, so the last time this happened was whenever Peyton Reed came in to take over for Edgar Wright on the first Ant-Man film. That was a pretty controversial moment because Edgar Wright has a lot of diehard fans out there for people that love like the Scott Pilgrim movie or Baby Driver that has come out since then. That was, again, like that was 2015. We've seen a lot more consistency with Marvel's directors since then. You know, we haven't had people jumping around as much.
Well, we should note that he is just moving from director to executive producer. So he's not fired.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's around in some facet.
Yeah. Well, no. So that is true. Although my understanding is that whenever you've worked on a script and have worked on kind of developing a film and then step away from it, you were typically given an EP credit just for your work.
So he may be gone legit other than what he's done already.
Yeah, but I don't get the sense that he was fired. I mean, it seems sort of like the Edgar Wright thing again, where I think that there were just legitimate creative differences. I don't know what that means for us. I think the first instinct, you know, kind of on Twitter has been, oh, well, you know, Scott Derrickson wanted to take this in directions that Marvel wasn't ready for yet. Because like we've talked about, he said he kind of wanted to add more horror elements to this. He's pretty much only done horror films other than Doctor Strange.
Right.
You know? I'm not so quick to jump to that place though, because I think maybe what's harder for directors is that Kevin Feige, I think, just has very clear ideas of what he needs these movies to do. And you can either like that or not like it, but like as the...
you have to execute it.
Yeah, it's like as the universe is getting more connected, it's just like, and he's very aware of everything having to tie up in certain ways. And so I just wonder if it's just, you know, Scott Derrickson wanted to take the character not in like a bolder direction, but just somewhere that wasn't going to serve like the greater narrative.
Could be.
Again, this is all conjecture, but I my only reason in saying that is I am loath to always jump to like, oh, well, the big bad studio is trying to keep the director being creative. Like, I think that's kind of a tired narrative that's not always accurate.
Right. Okay, and the last tidbit is actually the tidbit I am most excited about of all this stuff we've been talking about.
Oh, yes.
And there's rumors out there that Christian Bale is possibly in the running for some part in Thor, Love and Thunder, the fourth Thor movie.
Yep.
And I'm a diehard Christian Bale fan as far as
sure.
I enjoy most of his performances. So this was really exciting for me. This piqued my interest.
Well, and I don't know if there's any basis for this other than just, again, Twitter speculation, but there are rumors that he'll be playing a character called Beta Ray Bill. I don't know if you're familiar with that character, Kyle.
Absolutely am not.
But people are now going around saying Beta Ray Bale. But
ooh,
he is, it's an 80s, I think, Walter Simonson creation, where it was this kind of alien with this really kind of iconic, like horse-ish appearance. You should go look it up if you're listening right now and have access to Google. For a while, Thor is not wielding Mjolnir, and this kind of alien dresses up as Thor and acts as Thor for a long time, and it's kind of a fan favorite character.
But before we get way down this rabbit hole, one, we don't even know if Christian Bale's going to be in it.
Sure.
Two, we don't know that he's going to be playing that character. And three, they always spin off the comic books anyways, so don't get your heart set on one thing. They always twist it in some way.
No, totally. I'm just saying,
I'm just, Rob.
I'm just reporting what is out in the Twitterverse, so people kind of know what all of the other
Marvel
nerds are talking
about. And I'm just reminding you that
about.
It's all rumors at this
point.
It
is all rumors. Even the Christian Bale appearance is rumored at this point, so... But
no doubt.
Who knows? If it does happen, you heard it here first.
Well, true. Yeah, I love that. They probably didn't at this point, but I love that maybe they did hear it here first.
There you go.
Good. Well, that's about all the breaking news I have. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's it. It's a lot, you know, and I'm excited as we get closer to Black Widow to kind of unpack more of what we get there. But we're getting close. It's just a few months away, and we've got another official MCU entry, which is crazy because we haven't had any since we started this podcast.
That's true. We haven't had a new movie since we started. Wow.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll start to hear more about the Eternals as well as we get closer to that in November. And really, once we kind of get a little bit further into this year, we're going to be really chugging along. There's going to be a lot of content coming, so we will be excited to kind of keep you guys informed through all of that.
We'll be on the forefront of that conversation, so keep listening. We will keep you updated. That's a promise from Robbie and Kyle.
There you go. We will tell you what's new in the MCU.
Thank you for listening, everybody. This has been Friends from Work. Beta Ray Bill is a weird-looking horse. I just Googled it.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.